Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
The Shit Show.
Yeah, that was a shit show.
Hey guys, welcome to the shit show. So excited to be back behind the microphone. I'm here with my co-host Anthony Lario, my best friend, and we have a special guest.
Oh my god.
Producer Andrew.
I am here as well. Yes.
Oh my god, how fun. Just three Bishop Eustace alumni spawn.
It yeah. all comes back to Eustace. It really does. Andrew, how about you give like three fun facts about yourself just so people can get the gist of who you are?
Three fun facts. I love Halloween. I got free tickets to an Adele concert and sat behind Hoda Kotb. That was pretty cool.
Oh my god.
I don't know. And fun fact, I produced this show and it's fun.
Hell yeah.
It is. You sat
fun.
Behind Hoda.
I did.
Dominic and I always talk about this. We wish that there's like certain people were like, how amazing would it be if that person was like your aunt or uncle or like your cousin? Mm-hmm. And it's never like really like A-list, like big movie star singers, but it's always like, how fucking cool would it be if like Aunt
Hoda
just
seems
like came
so
to
genuine. Yeah. Yeah. She is like the best celebrity. She seems so kind.
I feel like she just smells like Chardonnay.
Yeah. Did she look nice, like, from the back?
I lied to her after, and I said I read her book when I did not, just to get a picture with her.
Andrew!
I did not read Hoda Kotb's book, no.
Andrew, how about this? How about this? Yeah. How about we go through the rock and the rose of your day? So something that rose you up, and then something that brought you down, and if there's a shit show in between there.
For today. I took a bike ride this morning through Central Park. That was really nice.
Beautiful.
Very hipster.
And then I hate like recording with people that are on California time because I always send the wrong time to them.
I wonder which time zone is like the original time zone.
I know this answer.
Anthony, go ahead.
The original time zone is our time zone, Eastern Standard Time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We have different time zones because of farmers. Is mm-hmm. that right?
Well, I think it's...
You know what? I love farmers, but they're screwing a lot of shit up. This electoral college, now the time zones. What's going on here?
I really just think it's the sun. I think it's just the sun.
I love farmers, though.
I love the sun.
I can't believe that farmers are the reason why the sun like comes up in the morning.
Didn't Margaret want to be a farmer when she was younger?
Yeah, she did. She wanted to be a farmer.
This shit show podcast is so funny because I feel like everything just comes back full circle.
To
farmers.
Except for your statements.
Except for my sentences. Everything comes back full circle. It's really funny. It's very organic, like a farmer.
Like a farmer, organic. And you know what else is organic? We posted a swipe up and link in bio, like the true influencers we are, for people to be able to write in their own shit show stories. Because mm-hmm. while Morgan and I might not have PhDs or might not be clinically trained, we are, in fact, psychiatrists and therapists.
Yes. And meanwhile, we don't have armrests, but we are armchair experts.
Yes.
And we got the idea because a lot of people, a lot of listeners, they've been enjoying the shit shows. But what's happening, and I've realized, Anthony, I think it's probably the same for you, is that people are like, oh my God, like this happened to me. This has to be on the show. So we want you guys to get involved because there are shit shows in everybody's everyday life.
Yeah, totally. And we can learn things from each one. I mean, I was just even finding myself this past weekend, like talking to random people. And it's like, been there, but not like a elitist been there. It's like, oh, I get it. Like, and I feel like a lot of people are feeling that way. They're like, oh my God, I like somebody DM me. They're like, I can't believe that Margaret Josephs had to go through that. She never talked about that on the TV show. And it's like, now that is going to give, if there's ever a rumor about me, I'm just going to be like fucking Margaret Josephs. It's like so cathartic.
Or even just like a lot of people around like, you know, ages 25 to 30, they really related to Kate Casey's podcast, and it made everybody like calm down about like their future. Like everyone fucks up, everyone makes mistakes, everyone misses the red flags, and it's just about what you do with them to find success later on. So a lot of people are finding comfort, and I feel like this forum and the form that we put out is allowing people to kind of like let their walls down, and just like let it all out anonymously. So it's kind of like a Dear Morgan and Anthony column.
Yeah, totally.
We're
going
to try our best to give our dearest advice.
Well, now that we've gotten done patting ourselves on the back, let's open the floodgates. So
amazing.
First anonymous submission. This is like a tale as old as time. So my friend told me that they were in love with me. I don't have feelings for him, but I think I could eventually gain some because I know he would be a good, stable boyfriend. What should I do about this shit show? I don't want to ruin our friendship either. That's difficult.
That is difficult.
What do you think? Because I have a few thoughts.
My initial thought is you don't want to lose a good friendship.
Totally.
But I do think that with a significant other, they become your best friend.
Yeah.
So I think like there's definitely like a lot of communication that needs to happen if you do decide to take the next step and like want, if he wants to pursue you and date you. But if the feelings aren't there, like I'm a firm believer in like instant chemistry and knowing if there's like a difference between like a friend and like a boyfriend, someone you want to romantically get involved with.
Yeah.
But you might like, as you mature, realize that you find feelings in having the stability of having a best friend. So,
yeah.
I mean, those are my like initial thoughts. Anthony, what do you think?
I mean, I feel like I've gotten like mixed advice from people because I often find that maybe instant chemistry is a red flag that we paint green.
And I disagree.
I think that instant chemistry can be dangerous because it can cause you to overlook a lot of things because you're like, oh my God, we had this chemistry right away and it was sparks flying. Andrew's nodding his head. He agrees with me.
I agree,
and maybe this is more exclusive to LGBTQ plus community than it is the straights, but who knows? Who really knows? I just think that when there's this like fire, it's like, well, guess what? All fires eventually dim. They're all eventually put out. And the security guard, Mary, at our condo building down the shore said something to me because I went to her in the beginning of May. It was my first time down the shore, like during COVID. And I was like talking to a bunch of guys on Hinge and like, I have really good chemistry with this one, but I can't tell like if he likes me and this and this. And then there's this other guy and I'm like, oh my God, he's so great, but I can't tell if I really have feelings for him. And she's like, pick him. And I'm like, why? She's like, you can always learn to develop feelings for somebody, especially when they like you more than you like them. And the opposite always fails to be good, and it always comes true because the sparks always end up going out. And this is like a morbid way to look at it, but it kind of ends up being true, I think. I think that the difference in this situation that we have written in is that they're best friends. And that's what makes it complicated because I think, like, let's say she just met this guy and she's like, I can't tell if I really have a connection, but he's cute and he's like fun and he's smart and I can get there eventually and he will take care of me and I'll take care of him. I say, yeah, go for it. But the fact that it's a best friend, are there families involved? Do you guys know each other's parents? Is there a possibility you could break up a friend group? I would say maybe have sex and then see what happens after because you can always come back from sex.
No,
you can't come back from. Yeah. You don't think so, Andrew?
I
disagree.
Probably the worst advice. It's
bad advice.
Then you're stuck in lust.
Oh,
then you're stuck in lust, and lust is it's like quicksand. So I feel like that's hard to get out of. But
I'm curious in hearing. Wait, why do you think it would be like beneficial to have sex with someone that you deem a very close friend?
Because if it's fun and it's if it's fun and it goes well and you're laughing after, I think those moments after we're like laying in bed together and you're just laughing and looking at memes or whatever, that's like the moment where you really figure it out, I think.
But what if it goes horribly and you can't look at your best?
Then if it goes horribly, we're like, oh my God, well,
but
that's
you
your
can't,
feeling.
And, but, okay, it's but, valid. But if she's, if he's in love with her and it's an awful experience in the bedroom,
uh-huh.
There's just, they're going to be looking at each other a little differently, I think. And that's going to be even harder to get back. So I think this is like a situation where you take it slowly. You really hone in on the good qualities of the person. And if he doesn't give up on you, then you deserve it, girlfriend. Then go and do it. Take it slowly. I think this is like a slow roll. I do.
Yeah, but she also can't like lead him on, which I guess would be the sex thing, might not be a good idea. But at the same time, it's like, I think I've been on both sides of this. Like, I've been the person who's like, well, maybe it'll be a thing. But then I think I'm leading the person on. And then I've also been on the side where I'm like, all right, they like just want to be friends for right now. But I like know that there's more than that here. And so where do you go from there? And then it's like, eventually, I feel like it's hard unless the person gets rid of their feelings. Mm-hmm. It's hard to move forward knowing that somebody isn't. Feelings is one thing. You can have chemistry and a little bit of feelings, but if you're like in love with somebody,
I have a
different.
Good idea. I think I have an interesting idea. Okay, girlfriend, if you're listening, if you have a friend
or boyfriend,
that you can,
we don't know,
or boyfriend, yeah, we don't know. If you have a friend that you can set up with this guy that you think, you know, they would get along really well, you think they'd make a good match, and they end up hitting it off, then you have to realize how you feel. Are you jealous? Are you happy for them? If you're jealous, go for it. If you're happy for them, let it go.
So ooh, maybe that's good.
So
that's
maybe good. So maybe try that's to genius. Set them up with somebody and see how
and
you
if you're
feel.
Jealous, if you're like, oh my God, how'd the date go?
If you're like, you're not, oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
You can keep going.
No. That's that's it. I think that's it. I think we nailed it.
Okay.
Andrew?
So my official advice. Oh, you go first, Andrew.
I feel like I have very unfun advice for this person.
Oh God.
You offered two very fun options, I think. But I feel like just go for someone else completely. I think it's just too complicated to even consider. Just like, I think that there are people out there that can, you know, I think you're attracted to this person because you see them in this light. There are more people out there and just like, you're going to get hurt, I feel. So yeah, I would avoid.
That could be true.
Do you think that they're always going to wonder what if?
Yeah, the what if like part is like hot, like for a fantasy, but like not to actually like pursue, because then not only are you losing like a potential like romantic partner, but you're also like could potentially lose a very good friend as well. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's true. That's
it.
True.
Okay, guys. So you have one piece of responsible advice and two pieces of fun fuck it advice. Take your pick.
Yeah. I'm outweighed, so go for it. Go for Anthony Morgan.
Go for it.
All right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So we have one that is really morbid, but we love the morbidity. In 2009, I separated, moved out, lost my job, got bub bags and shingles, got divorced. But hey, I couldn't wait for 2020, which couldn't possibly be worse. Thanks, amen. Corona. Fuck my life. Still divorced, unemployed, with bub bags, bed bugs, bug beds,
bugaboo.
And I got infected with COVID on election day.
Wow.
Don't fuck with me, 2021. All I gotta say is Miss Mary Pat, Miss Mary Mac. I am very happy that I'm not you, but I empathize. I empathize, not based on any personal experience, but I'm very creative and I can put myself in your shoes.
Here's my thing with this one. Again, I'm very sorry for everything that you've been through. but Miss Mary Mac, it is always darkest before the dawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't totally. But she thought that in 2019. Yeah, 2020 like
here's, here's my question. And again, I don't mean to make fun of anybody, but I'm going to because you still have bed bugs after a year.
Yeah, that might be a you problem.
Yes. I don't want to victim blame anybody with bed bugs.
Bugaboo
bed bugs, yes. but I don't know. It's getting really dark before the dawn, though. It's getting very, very pitch dark. Yeah.
No, yeah, Miss Mary Mac.
I don't know. When it rains, it pours. That's very cliche, but I think that's like pretty much all I have to say to this one. But guys, do not fuck with her in 2021.
Well, my main thing is, do you, Miss Mary Mac, if you're listening, first of all, I'm very sorry. It fucking sucks. 2009, 2020, two weird years for, I feel like, a lot of people, but those are really big life things. Getting separated, divorcing somebody, moving out, losing a job. Those are all cycle. I mean, I know this from my own psychiatrist. Those moving and breakups are, and sickness are the three biggest stressors that somebody could ever go through. And it's because it's all about change and having to adapt to that change eventually. So my advice would be, if you can't do something to control it, try to find some solace in the uncontrollable, because that's where the beauty really lies. If you're like, holy fuck, I can't control this, I'm just going to roll with the punches, maybe try to get the bed bugs under control. I would throw out the bed, get a new one.
Yeah.
Or see if it has something to do with your landlord or your house. If you control the controllable, what you can't control, you can't control. Hopefully you're doing better with the COVID.
Yeah.
But I would really go to a Wicca or a witch doctor and get some advice. You can actually book a consultation. I don't know if you live near New Hope, PA. You can get a cleanse. I feel like somebody might have put a hex on you. I'm being serious. I believe in the Moloichs. I believe in the evil eye. This is bad shit.
That took like a giant turn.
I think also, just to piggyback off of Anthony's Wicca advice, is that start with throwing out the mattress. Yeah. I'm a firm believer in shaking up your frequencies when things are going wrong. Just because I feel like it's so easy to be like, oh my God, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me, when you're stagnant? So try to take control of new things, like try redecorating, try painting, try a new recipe, and shake up those frequencies in life, so that the universe is kind of like, oh my God, all right, she's alive, she's good.
Yeah.
She's shaking and moving. I'm going to give her some, you know, some good luck. And you know what? Also, Miss Bugaboo, Miss Mary Pat, it sounds like you're due for some good karma.
Yeah, it seems like you're due for some good karma. And also, like, one of my own personal shit shows, I had the year 2014 through 2015 was like a cyclone. Like, I felt like I had gotten thrown into a cyclone, as if I got pushed off a 100-story building, and it just wouldn't stop. It would not stop. Beginning of 2014, I had to go on prednisone for like 6 fucking months. I got broken up with in the most public way possible. I got kicked out of Villanova for a semester, spiraled downward. I'm like, it can't get any worse. I get home, I gained fucking 60 pounds. The roommates that I'm supposed to live with when I got back all kicked me out of, in like a homophobic attack, like kicked me out of their housing. Like, I was like, it cannot get any worse. And then finally, there's just this one day, and you're going to have this moment, as I feel like a lot of people do, and you're just going to be like, all right, wait, did it just get better? Did it just happen? And you prepare yourself. Okay, maybe it can go down a little bit more again. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's going to get better. And then usually you get into a pattern and you reteach yourself. It's all about adapting. And once you've relearned yourself, really, that's when it starts to get better, because you can't control what happens to you. You can't control how somebody throws the baseball pitch at you, whether it's a curveball, whether it's a fastball, but you can control if you want to attempt to hit back with the bat, or if you want to step aside and let it be a foul ball. That part's under your control. So Miss Mary Matt Bugaboo, Miss Pat Mackie Daddy, just Just take it in stride. You're going to be okay.
Take it in stride. Yeah. I went through something similar not too long ago. In the same week, I got let go from my job and went through a breakup. And it was heavy. I mean, there was just like, it seemed like everything on my plate was like wiped off. And totally. it felt like a new start in a way. So maybe look at this as like a clean slate and just like a chance to kind of like start over and like reinvent if you want. Or just like move forward. It's interesting. I was watching a podcast last night, Joe Rogan with Matthew McConaughey, and Matthew McConaughey had a really interesting perspective on, you know, when things are going really badly and blah blah blah, everything's hitting you all at once. It's so easy to just be like, okay. When am I due for some good luck? When am I due for some good luck? And then finally, true, things are working in your favor. But there is a danger in getting used to things going too well, where you start to self-sabotage and you're like, okay, this is like all too good to be true. Like, I don't deserve this. And there's an art that Matthew was going...
Imposter syndrome.
And also there's an art in running downhill, like making sure you're not running towards the great things like too fast, but really like reveling in the moment and enjoying the good things that are happening to you while making sure you don't self-sabotage and you just realize that you know, everyone's deserving of good things. So take
totally. And that's good advice. The only reason why I went, ugh, is because people will, like, especially guys will be like, ah, it's the fake news. But then they're getting their news from the host of Fear Factor, Joe Rogan. But anyway, besides the point, it's true. And I often find that I do run down the hill when I should be just, you know, when you ever know when you're like walking downhill and you're like kind of stopping yourself, it's like lean into that fucking shit, but then don't fall at the end.
Right. There's like an art to being as resistant but accepting. So finding that balance between resisting but accepting.
Yeah, we live in analogies. Do you realize that, Morgan? All yeah. we do is live inside of analogies.
Yeah, well, that's why I really related to Matthew McConaughey, because he's a storyteller and he thinks very lyrically. So what I thought, yeah. I mean, also, I don't mean to like turn this podcast into like a Matthew McConaughey like shrine, but very similarly to Anthony and I's, he thinks of things very lyrically. So totally. He puts like a music title on like a certain relationship, or he puts a music title on... like a song title on like a certain experience he's going through. And I think that's like a good way of kind of like categorizing everything. So
totally.
I mean, our
totally.
Song title is Shit Show.
Yeah. And it's like, so you know what, to the writer, just lean into it. That's my final advice. Just lean into it as best as you can. It's not easy.
All right. I have one right in front of me. Anthony, can I read it?
Go ahead.
All right. There was a guy in college that really had a thing for me. I wasn't so much into him, but by our sophomore year, he wore me down. So I decide to go home with him one night. We start fooling around, and he asks if he can put some music on. Okay, sure. He proceeds to tell me he has had this playlist made specifically in case this night ever happened. Oh. Why I didn't run then, I don't know. So we
red
start
flag, paint it green.
So we start ... doing it. And he stops in the middle to change the fucking song. I'm like, what is happening? He finds a song he's looking for and says, I've been wanting to do it with you to this song. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Duddy Love by Sean Kingston. I'm dead. I'm like, what the fuck is my life? That was obviously a one and done. And still to this day, that kid will randomly text me, Duddy, Duddy, Duddy Love. My friends will do it to me too. It's a running joke and you can't make this shit up.
You know what? The guy sounds like a fucking douchebag, but at least she took it as a fun experience.
Yeah, that's
the fact that he's still texting her Duddy, Duddy, Duddy Love. I feel like he's sort of like a fun time. He's not that bad. You know,
right. He's like, yeah, he's like coming back to like the little intricacy that was like obviously important to him. I think it's sweet. Yeah. But she thinks it's a running joke.
Yeah, and he can make fun of himself too, it sounds like, which is right. Nice. Yeah.
They should date each other.
No.
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 But what do you guys think? I feel like something that I got from that is that I often in relationships like dating either casually or not, I find these like little commonalities like in the first couple times that we like are speaking or hanging out. And it's like, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll grab onto that. Like that's like a running thing that we can secure and make it ours. Right. Like that's something. And I always feel like without fail, the things that I find to be really significant, the other person just ends up like not really thinking them to be significant. So I'll like say, I'll just give an example. I'll be like, hey, like wanna, you know, go to Elvez, like, cause we got that, like, you know, dip and like whatever. Right. And it's like, we did? And I'm like, how do you not remember that? Not remember? Like I remember it. Like, and that's the most heartbreaking thing. Yeah, it's like a Taylor Swift lyric, because Taylor does that too. She's always like romanticizing remembering things. And that's what I do, because I'm like, the biggest compliment you can give to me is to remember something about me or remember something that I love or that makes me me. So if I'm remembering it about you and I'm putting it into practice, it's like, I hope that you would do the same. And it's like, just like Taylor, her biggest heartbreaking thing is not if somebody cheats on her, not if somebody is an asshole to her, it's if they don't remember. And so I feel like that is cute that he texts her the duddy duddy, dim duddy love. But, you know, I do find that romantic. I'm just a little bit jealous.
I just think it's cute because it's like it's a tie that keeps them together. And I mean, regardless of the song, he at least had something in the back of his mind that he was like, this is the one song I want with the one girl. Like he holds such weight to it. So I mean, I don't know. I think it's cute. I think little intricacies and inside jokes, those are what get me. Those are what pull my heartstrings 100%.
You fall for them too. And so you do the same thing.
Of course I do because you know what it is I remember those things too. So if it's mutual, then I'm like, okay, like there's something here because we're on the same like thinking wavelength. Like if I'm on the same wavelength as you and you're on the same wavelength as me and our frequencies are in line, I mean, game over. Yeah.
Well, speaking of frequencies being in line, there's a hookup story here, which I find extremely fascinating. I was hooking up with a guy and I didn't know he was a virgin. Anyway, he came while we were making out. I've been on the other end of this. Barely even touched his penis while we were fully clothed. When I went to put my hand down his pants, it was all wet. I asked him if he came and he's like, no, no, no. So I had to pretend the whole time like I believed him and try to jerk him off again. As you can imagine, he never came the second time. Now, here's my whole thing. I feel bad for the guy. I feel bad for the girl, or if this is two guys or whatever. But it is so hard, I especially think with guys with sex, to be vulnerable because it's a shameful thing if you finish too early. And I feel like it should be like a compliment almost, like, oh shit, like you made that happen really fast. Mm-hmm. And while it might not be fun for the other person, I wish there wasn't such a stigma of like shame on it.
Right. I don't know. I look at this and there should be open communication in times of intimacy, I think.
I agree.
So if she asks that, she's comfortable. And
that's true.
The guy should feel vulnerable and trust her enough because she was able, you know, to ask him that. I wish he didn't lie.
Yeah, it all goes kind of back to the idea like macho man.
The thing is, like, guys can lie about that, but they can't really get away with it because, like, as you can imagine, he didn't come the second time. So I don't like him because he's a liar.
Yeah, true. But I also feel like it's like, not to get like so deep here, but there is like this like toxic masculine structure in place that it's like shameful to admit that. So it's like keeping this like, you know, persona of like macho man. Like, of course I didn't come. But it's like, lean into it. Like but then it's like a lose-lose because I've been on both sides and it's like, I'm always pretty honest if something happens prematurely, but then it's like, and so then if you lie about it, you're a liar. If you're honest, it's like, they're a pussy. So not really, there's no really out here. What do you think, Andrew?
I just think that everyone should be masturbating before their dates if they know that they're gonna hook up. So avoid this issue just in the first place, right?
Yeah, but what if you're somebody who can like finish like 17 times per day?
Okay, do you know a single person that could do that? No.
Well,
wait, can you?
His name starts with A.
No, not.
And his ends
last
with
name
Phony.
Rhymes with Mario.
I can. It's like a good thing sometimes, but sometimes it's not because it's like just short increments of sex a lot or like whatever. But it happens multiple times. It's just like kind of like revving a car and like you're going to get it like, you know, down the road 100 feet and then it's like vroom, boom. But then it's not like the car's broken down. And you need a tow truck. It'll eventually go again. But
it's a little
I
busted
can do that.
Though.
A little busted. I wonder what that is. Hmm. Maybe if there's a doctor listening, you can let me know.
Over excessive.
Yeah,
but I think go ahead, Andrew.
No, I just fully believe that like to enjoy it, you know, if you know that you're going to be having sex and you don't want it to last, you know, a short period of time, then I feel like you should plan accordingly.
But I love like the idea of like a strong buildup. Where it's like, you cannot wait any longer.
Crescendo.
Yes. Mm.
Loving me is like driving a new Maserati down a dead end street.
Yeah.
Loving me was red.
Yeah. Duddy, duddy love.
Duddy love. Duddy love. Now we got this one. I'm finding this one probably the most interesting out of all the ones we got. I had a 62-year-old woman who I worked for claim she was the daughter of a famous artist until I found out she was actually 4 years old and actually a puppy.
I have just one question.
I didn't get paid a cent, she says. I feel like I've been through this like 2 or 3 times.
I have just one question. Well, I actually want to open it up to Andrew and Anthony. What kind of artist do you think the puppy was?
I would say a painter or a mime.
Okay, Andrew?
Wait, I'm so confused about this entire... Wait, say it again?
Let's break it down. So this girl worked for a 62-year-old woman.
Yes.
And the woman claimed that she was the daughter of a really famous artist. So I'm assuming mm-hmm. she thinks that this woman's like in the art scene that she's working for. I'm assuming
Anthony,
a personal...
Anthony, it sounds a little bit like the endeavor that you went on.
Yeah,
that you talked about with your socialite. Anyway, go on.
I know. So I'm assuming she was probably doing assistant work or something. And then she found out that the woman was actually only 4 years old and also a puppy.
Not a woman, a puppy.
Wait, I don't understand. How are you working for a puppy? I'm just like, logistically, what's going on?
I don't know. I can't tell if this is a typo. Or it kind of reminds me of like The Orphan. Remember that movie, The Orphan? And then like a real life thing kind of happened with it. They adopted the girl. They thought she was like 4 years old.
Yeah.
But she was really like a 17-year-old girl. And then the woman
but this
was like
is
a 34-year-old
woman. This is comparing a woman to a puppy. They're like, oh, wait. I like all of a sudden it was a puppy. Part of me, my gut is telling me that someone's fucking with us. And I don't like that.
Maybe they're trying to make it like an analogy. Because I understand, I worked for a socialite who said that they were the daughter of a famous musician.
Mm-hmm.
And
but what is
all
the
this
puppy?
Stuff,
what is the puppy parallel to?
I don't right. know. Maybe it's a metaphor.
Is that
maybe
like a saying?
Reveal.
Yeah, like
a puppy, like someone that just like followed you around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get paid a cent either until
like
I had
a
the
dog.
Threat.
Like a dog.
Wait, but before she turns into the puppy, she's a little girl. Wait, what's
yeah,
going on?
Yeah, she's 4.
She's 4.
He thought she was 62.
But she's actually 4. Okay.
Yeah, and the way this is written doesn't seem like it's a joke either.
I didn't get paid a cent.
I didn't get paid a cent.
Yeah, because it's like a 6-year-old girl, also a puppy.
Yeah,
I guess
know.
Like my
Jesus
advice
Christ.
For this person would just be to do your research.
Yeah, do your research.
Yeah.
I guess before... But that's the other thing that people like us who paint the red flags green, you could do the research. It could come up on Google Images, a picture of a puppy. I would still take the job.
I don't even
would
know
you
what
not?
To say. I don't even know what to say. Like, I really don't. If it was like Marnie the dog, like, you know, that dog, that famous dog that passed
yes.
away that had like the tongue out, like if it were Marnie, I would do
well,
it.
Well, maybe she was working for Marnie the dog.
Marnie's dead.
If if this person was Marnie the dog's assistant, I apologize like completely. Like, I love you and rest in peace, Marnie. I just don't really know what to say, and I feel like unhelpful here.
But like Marnie the dog would have money though, is the thing. So I feel like
they would pay her a cent.
Right. Listen, I know a lot of people who had some money that still didn't pay me. So
I'm just very baffled by the 6-year-old girl.
Four.
Sorry.
Also, how is a 62-year-old woman the 4-year-old's daughter?
Yeah. And that's
riddle
the
me
other
that
thing.
One.
All right, riddle me this tangent. That song I fucking hate, and there's a few reasons why I hate it. I have a lot of shit shows associated with this song, such as being at a peak weight of 270, chain smoking about pack and a half of cigarettes per day, and being unemployed and not in school. But the song came out once I was 7 years old, master. This song makes no sense. If you really break it down, makes zero sense. There's this part where he goes, once I was 60 years old, my dad was 61. How is your dad 61
while
you're 60?
Here's the
your
problem
dad
I have.
Had you at one?
Here's the problem I have with this song, with that song Anthony just alluded to. They were trying to copy the classic song 100 Years by Five for Fighting.
Yeah.
And that song is emotional as fuck. Makes sense. It reads everybody's mind. It goes through the moments,
totally.
The integral moments of your life. And here we have, once I was 15 years old, my dad had me when I was 16. And I agree with Anthony. There was no creative liberty there.
Andrew, what do you say?
I do have the actual lyrics in front of me. It does make more sense. I don't know actually how it goes, so maybe you misheard it. it says, soon I'll be 6 years old, comma, my daddy got 61. So the dad died at 61 is what they're trying to say.
The way he sings it, he's like, soon I'll be 60 years old, my daddy's 61. It's like, shut up.
Yes. I agree.
The other lyric in that, once I was 7 years old, my daddy told me, go get yourself a wife or you'll be lonely. You didn't even hit puberty yet. Why are you getting a wife at 7?
No, I'm totally with Morgan on that. That's the 100 years to live. They're trying to recreate the magic, but there's nothing to be had.
Yeah, there's no magic there. No Christmas spirit in that song.
I'm 22 for a moment.
Yeah.
He feels better than ever. Oh, we're on fire. This song, I really love it. I really do. It's, yeah.
Yeah, all good. Right. I'm really glad. Did you got that all out of your system?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I did. I'm really emotional this week.
Yeah, I'm emotional this week too.
I cried on Sunday.
Why? Why'd you cry?
Just a lot of reasons. I feel like there's like a chapter being closed on my life and I'm very sad about it.
Oh,
it's okay.
Tell us about it. You know, it doesn't have to be okay if it's not.
No, it's fine. This is how I explain it. So basically, I'll be moving from Boston back home, which is great. Like, home is a happy place for me. But it's just like emotional. Like, I have a life here and it's something that I built from the ground up and I'm very proud of it. And there's people here who have molded me into who I am and who I will be for the rest of my life. And I'm very, you know, just sad to like leave that behind. But here is how I explain it to people when they're like, how do you feel? This is how I feel. So you know how they say like, you should live your days as if you want to be able to stamp your name at the end of the day. Like, you had such a good day that you're proud to stamp your name on it by the end.
Check that off your checklist. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so I feel like with Boston, after 3 amazing years, I can like stamp my name on it.
Aww.
So it's like pretty emotional.
That is emotional.
So, yeah, 100 years just like made me kind of emotional. But anyway.
Wow, Morgan's first time crying on the podcast. I mean, here's the whole thing. You did, and I'm so proud of you because you really took a path less traveled by. I mean, most people from where we're from either stay in Philadelphia or, you know, live at home until they're married. And you like went out there and you went to Boston and you did it. And like, even though almost every year you were like, I think I might move home. You didn't. You're there for a fucking long ass time. And you've made so many friends, more friends than anybody I know has. And you have such an impact on people's lives. And I feel like so many people wouldn't just be like, yeah, I'm friends with Morgan, but it's like, I'm so proud that I'm friends with them.
Oh,
with her.
Anthony. And Anthony too. Like you've
Do it back. I can't take it.
Well, I was just going to say, even in Boston, like you've made so many great connections and people absolutely adore you. So,
That's sweet.
But going back to the checklist, thing.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking about this theory and like this idea for a couple weeks because it's been coming up in conversations that I've been having with people. And here's my thing. There are a lot of people out there that have checklists for everything. Checklists for what they want in a significant other, a checklist for the school they want to go to, a checklist for the job that they want to go to, a plan, point A to B to C to D. Check. I admire those people because I am not one of those people. But I don't know if it is helpful or if it's a detriment to people having this checklist. Because in my opinion, because I don't have a checklist, I lead with my heart more often than not. And I feel like if I do have a plan and I do have a checklist and I can't seem to check those boxes off or complete the plan, then I'm just like, what was the point of the plan or what was the point of the checklist? So it's a very differing idea when people, you know, have like these checklists in their life for almost everything. And I wanted to pick both of your brains about it. And I want to see where you stand.
I think there's a happy medium because here's the thing. If you go through life with no structure, it's hard to grow, right? Unless something's thrown at you or unless you have an idea in the moment. And I lean more to that direction. Mm-hmm. I found that I always like to be surprised with no structure rather than disappointed with a checklist. Because the few times that I have made checklists about things, there's always two or three that don't end up happening. And that is somehow way more painful than having nothing, no goals, and then having things fall into your lap from creative things that you've done by yourself. It's not like I wrote it down and I said, oh, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. I did some of it. I didn't do some of it. It's like I'm living and then it happens. And I like that better. But there is a happy medium. You can set goals and have aspirations that are tangible and some intangible. But it all, I think, depends on the person because if you're extremely sensitive, you know, I like to go, I used to be in high school, like known for being like the nicest person, right? Like I was just always so kind and I still like to think that I'm a kind person. I don't usually have malintent, but I got roughed and toughed up because I got diagnosed with Crohn's. I had perfect skin. And I had Crohn's manifestations, horrible cystic acne. I was at Villanova, wanted to have this plan to meet a girl and have a family. Well, I'm gay. And it's just like, you can't plan certain things.
Right.
And if you're sensitive like me and you get roughed and toughed up, it's like you become jaded. And I feel like you don't set yourself up for failure. By setting these goals, especially if you know at the end of the day, when you write down goals, you have to make sure that it's actually something you want and not something that somebody else put into your head or something that you think you should be doing. Because
Great
we can
point.
Do that all the time. We could say, I should be doing this at this age. Well, no, you fucking shouldn't.
Yeah.
Maybe you should if you want to.
Right.
But if you don't, then who gives a shit?
Yeah. I just think that checklists become scary when they just become so confined. Like there is there's no buffer. And I think that there in life, there are so many buffers like emotion and like chemistry and what makes you happy. Like there's so many, and that changes, like it's all fleeting. So I think what scares me about checklists is that they're so, they can be so confined. But also, like, there's beauty in not having a checklist and, you know, learning from not making a checklist, so like this one time, or I don't know. It's just something that's been like marinating in my mind a lot recently, you know, and there's, and it puts pressure, I think, too, which is not always a good thing.
No. And those pages, I know you like look at some of them sometimes, and it's like the motivational stuff, and it's like that stuff is a sham. And I'm sorry to anybody listening who does that on their Instagram or Twitter. Sure, some of it is good, but some of it is bad. Like, I have a friend who's maybe we'll have him on the podcast. He's great, but like, I kind of want to confront him about some of the stuff you post. It's all like, the only person in your way is you. No, it's not. Like, yeah, sure, I can be in my way sometimes, but like, there's so many other factors. Or it's like, you know, he was posting a lot about like the election. He's like, well, no matter who wins at the end of the day, you know, you're your own path and you're your own leader. And you know, there's still one omnicentral king, which is God. It's like, I'm not going to be in the Supreme Court deciding whether I can adopt a kid. Like, that is something that is given to me. And I feel like when people post this motivational stuff, it's like one sect of human being. And it's like, yeah, sorry, we're not all like that. We all have existential factors that we can't control.
Yeah, it's true.
Control. And here's the other thing. You really can't control your reaction either. People say you can't control what people do to you, but you can control your reaction. That's not true. That's
not think that's true.
No,
I think
it's not.
Where you and I differ, I think, yes, I do. I do. I think that everybody reacts differently based on personalities and based on what ticks them off. And, you know,
maybe
what I
react
mean?
Isn't the right word. But if you do something in which I cannot, like, let's say you're wrongfully like arrested, just random statement.
Okay. I thought you meant like a debacle between like a friend and like when you choose to blow up or when you choose to bite your tongue.
Yeah, you can do that. It's just some things that happen are so out of your control that it's like, well, I can't control my reaction. I have to react this way in order to be able to move forward. Like, some people are not just able to choose like, well, I'll bite my tongue about that, or I'll get over that eventually. Like, some things, like, you really have, there's only one way you can react, and the other way is just killing over. So if you want to survive, you have to do certain things. I think that these motivational things and checklist things that make you like, because I know you think about that a lot, Morgan, and it like marinates in your head. It used to marinate in mine, but it's like, once you realize that all of that stuff is not real, it's like, oh my God, full circle, I can find some solace in the uncontrollable at this point.
I live in the uncontrollable. Like, I live in the uncontrollable. What marinates in my head is how different people look at life when they do have checklists versus not.
Totally.
Because I don't have checklists, and I like that. It makes me who I am.
But I feel like,
No, go ahead.
I feel like you're talking about like giant like accomplishments that you're putting on your checklist, whereas like, I have been like, I love a checklist, just a daily checklist of just like having breakfast. Like, that's like a love checking that off, you know? Mm-hmm, and then like throughout the day, I'll have a bunch of other things that are building toward a bigger checklist, a bigger check, you know? But I just love having a checklist of just like smaller things throughout the day, because it really does, there's so much accomplishment in fulfilling just a very small task, like just like showering, you know?
Yeah. Totally.
Understandable. Yeah. I think I'm looking at it from like the perspective of like, for example, when I was going into college, what I thought I wanted, I had on a checklist. I wanted a big school, big football, big campus, Greek life, blah, blah, blah. Like all of these like things I wanted checked off when I went to college, because it's what I thought I wanted. So I confined myself within that checklist and ended up going to the university, you know, where I graduated from. And it wasn't good for me. So it was just like, how do you know in these big checklists on things that you want to accomplish, or in like a certain job, like you want to make sure that your boss is like this. You want to make sure the team that you want is, has like this many people, like this territory. Like, how can you confine yourself? Because then you're negating all the other possibilities. I don't know. I don't know.
It's definitely something interesting to ponder over, because I think that a lot of the time when we're making these checklists, it's like what we see ourselves doing. It's not actually what we want to do. So like, instead of me as Anthony Lario thinking, and I've learned to break this, and listen, it hasn't always totally worked out. There's a lot of stuff I wish I was doing right now that I wasn't, but I think that it's like, okay, what do I see Anthony Lario doing, right? Mm-hmm. So if I were to make my grand checklist, it'd be, I'd want to host like Watch What Happens Live one day. Anthony Lario, I want to be like an official, you know, producer on Bravo. Like, I want to be in a movie. I want to be, you know, on stage on Broadway, right? Those are on my checklist, but that's what I see Anthony Lario doing. What do I really want? I was thinking about this earlier. I was like, some of the work that I do, I'm like, do I really fucking want this? Like, is this really what I want, or is this what mm-hmm. I'm seeing myself doing? This right now, the shit show, this is what I want to do. This is what Anthony Lario wants to do. But the other stuff, I'm like, oh my God, like, that's not going to tuck me in at night. Like, that's not going to keep my feet warm. Like, I think that I want to work one day real boring, just like general comms at a communication firm. Like, I see myself doing this because I think it's what Anthony should be doing because he's so talented and he's so this. And it's like pressure. And it's like, well, that's not what I fucking want.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, when people do, because some people do have checklists, like they have like a checklist on what they want in their significant other. And
that's not going to work.
I have trouble with that because I don't have that. Because again, like I go based on chemistry and frequency for the most part. But it's just like when you have a checklist, like I want to make sure that they make this much and they're this tall and like so many surface level points. I don't know. Like, are you really going to find someone with all those perfect points? Or like,
no, that's Humpty Dumpty.
How are you going to weigh your options? Like, how are you going to decide what's more important to you? Like their family or their, I don't know. Like, it's just like, I've been pondering over it.
Yeah. I think that as far as a significant,
because I think it comes down to pressure too. Like it really, like Anthony said, pressure.
You know what I had, you know, what's funny is it happened to me like 2 years ago and I haven't talked to, the guy at all. And I don't even know what happened to him, but we met on Hinge and like his pictures, he was really cute in like all his pictures. And we started talking and I was like, okay, like he's great. And it was just like really fun, flowy conversation. And it was like checking off all like my checklists, like, mm-hmm. you know. And then he was like, can I have your Snapchat? And then we started Snapchatting. He looked totally different. He looked nothing like he did in his pictures. He was a completely different person. But you know what? It didn't matter to me.
Right.
It didn't matter. I was like, huh. Like, I still am attracted to him, even though he looks like a completely different person. And I think that proved to me right there. It's like, if I had a different personality type and it was like, oh my God, that wasn't on the checklist, that, you know, I wouldn't have not pursued it. And I probably just didn't end up pursuing it because I was immature, forgot about it or whatever. But, you know, I think that we get into dangerous territory when we want to collapse an entire house just because, you know, the kitchen door is not working.
Well, exactly. Like, very well said.
To me, the Snapchat story, that guy, I feel like that brings up more of a, like, they're also lying on top of just, like, not being the person that they are online. That you're also dealing with other things that work against them, I feel. You know what I mean?
Totally. So, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, people are complicated. As we're like sitting here all talking and like every episode, like we're all just such complicated people. We're at the end of the day, we all can be mean sometimes, right? We all can be complicated. We all can be controversial. We all can lie. We all can cheat. We all can steal. And it's not something that we wear on our arm like a badge of honor. It's just who people are. So you find out that somebody lied about something. I have trouble completely writing them out because it's like, oh, I do that too. My friends do that too. Not to make excuses or police myself or have them police themselves. It's just like, it's going to happen at some point. It's never going to be perfect. And so,
well, that's the thing. Humans are imperfect. I mean, but that's like what I think makes like us so beautiful, and the fact that we can realize that and recognize that and try to better ourselves. Like we have that free will to do so. You know, I get angry at people who, and I do this too. Again, I do this too. I'm getting better at making mistakes. But I just can't relate to a lot of people who are afraid to really make mistakes and then confined to those checklists, because there's so much more to life than just running down the loose leaf paper and checking things off. There's beauty in like the unbeaten path. So
totally.
I don't know. Just wanted to like pick your brains and like whatever.
No, I think it's good. And that's like helpful for people to hear, because I think that the way that, you know, we might present ourselves online, right? Like it's funny. Things that I get comments about you and it surprises me a lot, is it's always like, oh my God, you guys are so put together and you're always dressed well. And like you have this going for you and this. It's like, we're fucking messes. And it's like, yeah. And it's good for that fourth wall to be broken, because I've never seen a mess that wasn't beautiful in some kind of way. Yeah. I've seen a lot of really clean, you know, whitewashed rooms with, you know, glass walls and marble floors that I'm like, this is cold.
Yeah. No, it's funny, because I think I put more of an effort into, looking put together when I'm internally like an absolute mess, because it's a defense mechanism. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like when I'm hungover and I used to go into the office, I made sure to get dressed up so that, I mean, I felt like a little better, a little more awake, a little more alert. But there's one time where I was at work in the office and the secretary was like, oh my God, like I absolutely love your outfit. And I was like, you have no idea how hungover I am right now, like all this stuff. So I think it's also a defense mechanism where it's like, oh my God, you're so put together. And it's like, that's just how I'm covering this up completely. You're like, coping. It's like the pimple. Like, would you rather just flat out shine a light on it, or are you going to put cover up on it? What are you going to do?
Yeah, so, totally.
But it's interesting, because a lot of these concepts that we've been talking about on the shit show, like they're such open-ended concepts. And I'm just really happy that people are relating to them and even just going off on their own twist with it, because everyone's mind is just so different. It's so infatuating, isn't it?
Yeah, it totally is. And I think it's a good place for our mid-season finale, since we're going to do two sets of five episodes for the first season. And we'll definitely do this again, have other people write in and talk to us. Because, you know, it's fun to walk down memory lane. As we said, it's the point of this show. When you hear other people's stories, it brings up stuff in yourself. And you could be sitting in your car, you know, driving to work or driving to school or at home doing the laundry with your phone on top of the dryer. And you hear something and it's almost like when you smell a candle or like somebody's cologne or perfume. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my God, that brings me back. It's like you can be brought back there, obviously, with stories. And I think that's so magical.
Absolutely. I agree.
All right, Morgan. So where can people find you on Instagram?
People can find me at Morg, M-O-R-G _ LaMotta.
Amazing. And you got really good at saying that.
Thank
you. And you can find me on Instagram at Anthony Lario. AntonyLario. And Andrew, where can people find you?
I am on Instagram at McGuiguy at MCGUI_GUY.
Beautiful.
So
all right, guys.
Now we're allowed through Apple Podcasts. You type in shit show without the censor. You just type in SHITSHOW.
No more sticky data. None.
No more sticky data. And you can
gliding through there.
And it comes right up. It's like the second thing that pops up. All you have to do is you gotta click it. You gotta what, Morgan?
You gotta subscribe.
And rate 5 stars. Send it to your friends. Send it to your teacher. Send it to somebody who hates our fucking guts. And do you think maybe that we talked about them? Send it to them.
Yeah, subscribe. Thank you guys so much. This has been so fun. All the conversations that we've been having have just, I don't know, made me so happy. I mean, it's true. And all the comments, positive reinforcement. Again, that's why we're doing this. We're doing it for you guys. We're doing it
for our egos.
And for content too. I mean, like, we all must live on. Our lives are movies.
Yeah. And this movie of this episode is ending right now.
The shit show.
Yeah, that was a shit show.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.